we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled, The Authority of Jesus Over Demons, Part 1. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When it was evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. I have just read from the New English Translation. One unique aspect of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, which we did not see in the prophets before him, was his powerful ability to cast out demons. In the Old Testament, one reason the law seemed so strict, sometimes requiring the death penalty for certain offenses, was that some of these crimes were clear signs of demonic possession. Not all sins warranted execution, but those involving evident demonic influence did. For example, witches and those who practiced sorcery were undeniably demon-possessed, and the prescribed punishment for such sins was death. Similarly, it is unnatural for a person to become a murderer. Such extreme wickedness is often a result of demonic possession. Demons can easily spread from person to person, so to prevent the corruption of society, the law required the execution of those whose behavior demonstrated demonic possession. This was not about God being vindictive. Rather, it was about preserving the community from irredeemable corruption. However, when our Lord Jesus came on the scene, he operated in the power of the new covenant, even before his death and resurrection. It is in this new covenant that demons can be effectively cast out without returning. This is because in Christ, a disciple crucifies the old self, the very nature that served as a host for unclean spirits, thus breaking the hold of demonic influence permanently. Go into today remembering that as a member of the body of Christ, you have the authority to cast out demons and keep them out by discipling their former subjects. Discipleship brings about the death and burial of the old man. So the new man in Christ can emerge. The new man cannot be demonized. Prayer. Lord, thank you for the victory I have in Christ. Help me walk in the authority you have given me over the works of darkness. Amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Genesis chapter 16 to 19. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next. Genesis chapter 16 to 19.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So she said to Abram,
"The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can build a family through her."
Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian servant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram,
"You are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me."
"Your servant is in your hands,"
Abram said.
"Do with her whatever you think best."
Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said,
"Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?"
"I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai,"
she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her,
"Go back to your mistress and submit to her."
The angel added,
"I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count."
The angel of the Lord also said to her,
"You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers."
She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her.
You are the God who sees me.
For she said,
I have now seen the one who sees me.
That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said,
I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.
Abram fell face down, and God said to him,
As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.
Then God said to Abraham,
As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
God also said to Abraham,
As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her.
Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself,
Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90?
And Abraham said to God,
If only Ishmael might live under your blessing.
Then God said,
Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year.
When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, who was circumcised with him. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said,
"If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant."
"Very well," they answered. "Do as you say."
So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah.
"Quick,"
he said,
"get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread."
Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree.
"Where is your wife Sarah?"
they asked him.
"There, in the tent,"
he said. Then the Lord said,
"I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son."
Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought,
"After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?"
Then the Lord said to Abraham,
"Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son."
Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said,
I did not laugh."
But he said,
"Yes, you did laugh."
When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said,
"Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him."
Then the Lord said,
"The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know."
The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained, standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said,
"Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?"
The Lord said,
"If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake."
Then Abraham spoke up again.
"Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I'm nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?"
"If I find 45 there,"
he said,
"I will not destroy it."
Once again he spoke to him.
"What if only 40 are found there?"
he said.
"For the sake of 40, I will not do it."
Then he said,
"May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?"
He answered,
"I will not do it if I find 30 there."
Abraham said,
"Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?"
He said,
For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it.
Then he said,
May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?
He answered,
For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it.
When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground.
My lords,
he said,
please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning.
No,
they answered.
We will spend the night in the square.
But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot.
Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them.
Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said,
No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them, but don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof.
Get out of our way!
They replied.
This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge?
We'll treat you worse than him.
They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot,
Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-laws, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it.
So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said,
Hurry, and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city.
But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying,
Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished.
When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said,
Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away.
But Lot said to them,
No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared.
He said to him,
Very well. I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it.
That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger,
"Our father is old, and there's no man around here to give us children, as is the custom all over the earth. Let's get our father to drink wine and then sleep with him and preserve our family line through our father."
That night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and slept with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger,
"Last night, I slept with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and sleep with him so we can preserve our family line through our father."
So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went in and slept with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Stream Globe is non-denominational and interdenominational. We encourage you to share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry and get more of our resources, visit streamglobe.org.